This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
On Friday, September 22nd, the Norris Group proudly presented its 10th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts joined Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event will benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event would not have been possible without the generous support of the following platinum partners: Housing Wire, Coach Fullerton, Coldwell Banker Town & Country, Property Radar, the Apartment Owners Association, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Las Brisas Escrow, MVT Productions, Inland Empire Real Estate Investment Club, Realty 411, and White House Catering.
I don't know where to begin with that. It's, if we go back to where this started, and you worry about if the question is policy in place to encourage home ownership? I mean, interest rates have been at zero for 10 years or whatever it is. And, you know, I went out and did 18 individual real estate inspections this morning at some Pelican place. Played golf. Hey, when in California, play golf. So I'm with a friend of mine who is in the fraud detection business. And we're talking about this whole scenario. We've got interest rates at 3 or 4%. He's buying a house. He says he's getting a 3% mortgage. My God, in 1985, if I had that, I'd be a billionaire. But yet, home ownership is down. Applications are down. Recent survey for MBA, existing home prices. You look at all this, there's no really positives. And I go back to, you know, one of my favorite vice presidents, Joe Biden, who said that three-letter word, jobs, is what we have to really focus on. And we're not there yet. So the policies are in place to buy a house. And we talk about credit is tough to get. I mean, I just look at it, I'm going, it's really not. Credit's out there.
It just has requirements that you might not be able to meet, but that's always going to be true.
I look at my friends in the business. If I can go to another place for just 10 seconds, is that okay?
Okay.
10 means 30. All right.
I know you.
I know. So when I had my own lending companies, average price to originate a loan was somewhere around $550, $600. It's $8,200 a loan now.
To originate a loan.
Really? And that's to put it on because that's all the compliance issues from the CFPB. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's all the backroom cost to do that.
Wow.
So somebody's paying for that, even at low interest rates. So you want to talk about the balance. I don't know if I've made any sense in that answer or not, but interest rates are at 3%, and you worry if people are worried about buying a house or not. I mean, really?
Yeah.
So it's about being able to afford it, the affordability verified, having a down payment to do it.
Well, we're going to, on the next segment, I'm going to deal with that, okay? We'll talk about that. Thank you for this little bit of time, and we'll get you back up here after the break. Don't go. I'm going to invite up to the stage Sarah Bonnert and Sean O'Toole. Sarah Bonnert, for more than 10 years, she has held various roles in sales, broker, and MLS services at Zillow Group. Today, Sarah manages the operational and data side of industry relations. She also leads Zillow Group's Tech Connect programs, which help agents, brokers, and MLS implement listing data feeds and set up traffic and lead APIs. Sarah, please come up. And Sean O'Toole is founder and CEO of PropertyRadar.com. Sean started his first software company at age 18, has been a serial entrepreneur ever since. In 2001, he started buying foreclosures, and besides being great timing, it sparked an idea that would bring together his newly found interest in real estate and merging it with his passion for technology, finance, and economics. What was born was Foreclosure Radar, which has gone on to become PropertyRadar.com. Sean's vision is to have PropertyRadar.com bring greater transparency, and stability to the real estate market. So, Sean, thank you. You know, when I thought about what we would talk about, I was getting in my car, and it occurred to me that I didn't know where this was. I was coming in from Costa de Casa, and Aaron had sent me an email, and there was an address that was just on the email, and I thought, and I wasn't sure of the outcome, to be honest with you, because I'm not really that tech savvy, but I said, I wonder if I push it, would it automatically turn into a map? And it did. And I thought, I didn't have to get out my Thomas guidebook, which I don't have anymore. And then when I got to the hotel and checked in, I didn't have a key, and my hands were full. I had this plastic thing. I could just wave it and went in. And so you know what? That's displacement. And we like some of it, and some of it we don't. And that's the part that we're going to talk about. Sean, you had started Foreclosure Radar in an industry that I was connected with. And if you were in Riverside going to trustee sales prior to the advent of Foreclosure Radar, there were 6 people, maybe 8 people, that were there. After you put your brain into it, there were probably 100 or more that showed up. But what happened was interesting.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. But if you think about it, what you did was you made it possible for small people to compete with big people. Because all there were big people because they had, first of all, the money to afford the list, and they had at the time to devote to chase down when the sale was going to change and all that stuff. You automated that. And all of a sudden, there were hundreds of people that got to do it. So, okay, you know, you start thinking about that chain of events. There were more people that made money in that industry than ever before. It was just spread more evenly. So, I mean, even though we were one of maybe, we weren't buying trustee sales at the time, but we knew people that were kind of bummed that this whole thing got changed. But it really was a benefit. And that's, go ahead.
I was just going to say, is this on? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
We actually were just doing some estimates of what that looks like. And, you know, it's a little bit of a back of the napkin thing, but if we match up who our customers are with the transactions that happen, we think it was somewhere between, you know, right around probably $8 billion of profit in the last 10 years that our customers made.
Yeah. And instead of being in 20 pockets, it was in 2,000 pockets.
Right.
The other thing, we were forced to pay higher margins. I mean, the margins shrunk. And because of that, we had to get better at what we did. At everything, every piece of that transaction, we had to get better. And that's what happened. You got better at competing. So at the end of the day, that was pretty cool. Someone, and this is Sarah, someone smart, and he's sitting next to you, once said that he is tech savvy, told me that if the product is free, you're probably the product.
Facebook?
Yeah. And so when I think about Zillow, there's no charge for me to show up there, which I've done a lot in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no charge to me.
To you, as a consumer.
As a consumer. Right. Yeah. Go ahead and talk closer to that until we explode. I guess it's okay.
that doesn't happen.
How many visits to the website does Zillow get in any time period you want to pick?
Yeah, we're averaging about 178 million a month you use.
A month.
Our unique users coming into the site, yeah.
Wow. That's just astonishing. And this is a company that started 10 years ago.
Yeah, it started in 2006.
Okay.
It's hard to believe.
It's probably exceeded anybody's wildest expectations, but what you've captured is all of those eyeballs that want to do what's next. And that's really your business model is having whoever is next pay for accessing that gigantic client base. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, we, in general, look at ourselves as a marketplace. So when we built the site, we said, what does the consumer want? Which I think was a unique way to build a real estate platform, and not maybe what does the agent want or the broker want. What does the consumer want? So we think of them as our North Star. Like everything that we build on the site, that's what we're thinking of. What does she want when she's out home shopping? And then we basically, in its purest form, just want to be a marketplace. So we bring these eyeballs, these people coming in, and try to match them with the best agent. And then, you know, now we're kind of evolving into trying to build tools that will help kind of smooth that transaction out. Because that's the next big pain point, is that it's still a bumpy transaction along and kind of in the dark a lot of times when they're closing. They don't know why something didn't close, or how can we help kind of smooth that out? Not being the broker, but helping with technology and tools and transparency.
How does the realtor view Zillow, and has it morphed into something that is better than it started? I'm just curious.
Yes. I've been at Zillow for 12 years. It's definitely gotten better. We wouldn't have gotten invited to something like this 12 years ago. So that's evolution in itself. How does a realtor view? It depends on how the realtor's using us. So some people see us as a disruptor, I would guess. But, you know, we make money when they make money. You know, if the agents aren't making money, they're not going to buy advertising.
Correct.
So that's how we make our money at the core. We're an advertising platform. So we want the realtor to win. We want the broker to win because they're selfishly going to buy advertising from us. People who use the platform, get involved in the platform, invest in a process to cultivate leads that come into the platform, love us. So we have a core group of people who are professional, full-time realtors who are investing in the platform, and they see high success.
And I guess that's part of my point, is that your target is really the agent that's going to be up to their eyeballs in activity.
Yes.
And they benefit most from the site.
Yeah, we are betting on the full-time professional realtor, and we are not betting on the casual real estate guy who does one or two deals a year.
Which are by far the majority.
Yeah.
So that's why, in one sense, you have, let's say, the discussion would be not favorable to Zillow, but those are the people where the volume is going somewhere else. Now, just for fun, I played on Zillow, and I put in my home address, and all of a sudden popped up, there's 477 people shopping for that price range home in your area, and then there was an agent that popped up. How did that agent earn the right to be the pop-up on my on my inquiry, basically?
And your house is not for sale.
It is not.
Yours not for sale. So that's our premier agent platform.
Okay.
So it's market-based pricing. So think about Google AdWords, where you pay to show up on Google at the top or the third place, whatever. So again, it's not as simple as just showing up. It's a full platform then that we're trying to develop to say, yeah, you're going to show up, but then we're going to also offer you customer relationship management tools so that when somebody does, like you do contact one of them because you're interested in selling, we are confident that we're hooking you up with somebody who has some kind of system to follow up with you. Because the big problem is we send all these leads and the consumer's not getting responded to. It's a big problem. I mean, there's all kinds of stats out there. When we started, it was well over 50% of leads were just not getting responded to. And that's a terrible experience for the home shopper. And that's kind of how we started looking, like, do we always just send it to the listing agent? Well, what if the listing agent's not responding? Like, who's being served by that? Nobody. I mean, they think Zillow didn't send the lead, so we are a bad site. They think the list, hey, who knows where the blame lands. So we said, all right, this person has a system, they're using our tools, we can see that they're responding to leads because we know they're opened, and they work the system, and ultimately the house gets sold, which the listing agent is happy, and hopefully the person had a good buy side agent.
Okay. Sean, Foreclosure Radar turned into Property Radar, and one of the things that you said, and you know, I enjoyed our interview, you talked about kind of the purpose of the company is for you to allow the small investor to compete with the big companies that are emerging. And so talk a little bit about how you're doing that.
Well, you know, I really saw the power of public records first, and then just kind of big data in general. Zillow really only exists because they took public records data and developed this estimate, right, that became interesting to people. and drew a lot of eyeballs to their site. And they leveraged the power of public records to really create a large, you know, company, which has certainly been disruptive to some degree. And when we looked at that in kind of a larger scale, right, whether it's the trustee sales where it's very difficult to go get information, or at, you know, even the bigger scale for just general marketing, right, there is a ton of data out there about you, not just in public records, but in other repositories. And I just have long had this vision that taking that data and making it more accessible will be important for small business to stay relevant.
You were mentioned, well, one of the things that's starting to occur, you have alerts that are new. And I know Aaron gets a big kick out of that. So explain what this new toy is.
Yeah, so a couple of the things that we thought were really important, A, besides just gathering all this data and making it easy to search and find and view, was, you know, we're talking about millions of events a day and, you know, tens of thousands of users with search criteria. Like, we have over 200 criteria, right? Unlike, you know, a Zillow or a consumer site, people go, well, why aren't your site isn't as fast as Zillow? Well, you know, they've got a handful of fields. It's completely different technology, super easy to make that fast. When you've got 200 different criteria that you can tap into, it becomes a lot more difficult, something we call an end-by-end problem. And so our event engine takes these millions of events and matches them up to these hundreds of criteria in real time for tens of thousands of users and takes action on them. And technically, it was a big deal. And I think we're the only one that has really anything like it.
Well, give me a practical application. Maybe I'll just do it for you. Let's say we're a hard money lender and we want to know today that somebody closed a sale on a flip, and we can get that. We can get alert, and we can say, we can find out that Joe Smith successfully sold a home in Buena Park, and then we can look at his record and see, okay, he's done a lot of these, and we know we can contact him.
And see what he paid for it, as well as what he sold it for.
Right. And so, I mean, can you imagine how many daily alerts you can get that are direct hits on something that you're very interested in? That's a pretty cool tool. Now, how long has that been in effect?
We kind of launched the original version of it quite some time ago, but it's gotten a lot more powerful.
Okay.
Recently. And then, you know, the big thing we did very recently is we added a lot of new data.
Okay. Sarah, probably the last question in this segment. The new instant offer, which is maybe a competitor to many of the people in the audience. So that's, and she's leaving now. No.
It's
we're
not.
A friendly group. It's not. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So again, going back to this kind of marketplace concept, that's what we can view ourselves, and we view our position in this new iBuyer, phase, I don't know what's coming with it, something that's growing. So it's not really anything new, right? You guys are all been doing this for years where you call somebody up and want to, you know, invest in their house. Technology's kind of moved that along. And then a number of well-funded startups came in the space and kind of moved that even further and faster along. And so Zillow said, all right, I don't know if we can call people, like an open door calls you and says, I'll give you X number of dollars for your home, and this is a percentage I'll take, and here's your net proceeds. Well, Zillow said, well, that's really a one-to-one. You only had one chance for an offer. You don't really know what the marketplace is. You don't have anything to benchmark that against. So we invented Zillow Instant Offers. In case you're not familiar with it, you as the homeowner can go on and say, kind of raise your hand electronically, say I'm interested in potentially selling my house, and I want to do it fast and
seamlessly. Which I did yesterday, twice.
You did, yeah, okay. There you go. And then we've partnered with a pool of investors at a couple larger companies and a couple of smaller investors in the area, local investors in the area. And then they have 2 days to respond to that and present an offer back. And they can say, we'll offer you this much, here are our fees, and here's the net proceeds, which is really the important number that the consumer cares about. How Zillow's differentiating is, again, it's kind of a marketplace where we're presenting a number of offers to the consumer, And we are offering an agent to participate in it. That's the big difference with our program. So you can say, an investor will offer you this. This is the net proceeds. If you want to go through the traditional real estate process, more than likely I can get you more for your house. We're going to have to put it on the market. It might be a longer close. Like, you know, the investors can close
2 days.
Days, if that. And, you know, if you want to go through the traditional, so the consumer has an opportunity to say, this is what I can get with an investor. If I want to go through the traditional process, I can make more. So they at least have, it's more transparent for the homeowner, and they're more aware of if going with the traditional real estate. So we feel like we are the only people in the iBuyer space that's actually giving the professional real estate agent a seat at the table and an opportunity to get that business. You know, I'm sure your next question is, how's it working out? We're in 3 test markets right now, so it's kind of hard to say. We're in Orlando, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. We don't have solid results. We can say it's been double-digit conversion, which is the highest conversion we've ever seen in online real estate. So the people are coming with high intent to sell. And when they can see what they get, again, it's the net proceeds that matter. We're seeing them lean more towards the traditional real estate process.
When you guys came out with this program, the reaction from the broker world was that, you're sort of converting to what we were afraid of. Your intent was going to be the broker in the transaction, and that's not true.
I mean, we're not involved in the transaction.
Correct. Okay.
Bruce, I'm going to jump in. You know, I think, especially for the people in this room, you know, this emergence of the iBuyers, you know, open door, offer pad, knock, instant offers now, you know, it's what we all do, right? They're flipping houses. Mm-hmm. But they're bringing a ton of technology to this. So they go in, and just like we do as investors, they're going in and making offers to homeowners, right? But then they're buying the houses, and they're bringing a lot of innovation along the way besides access to really cheap capital, cheaper capital than most of us have access to. And they're doing things like open houses where the buyer can walk up with their phone and unlock the door and go look at the property. So, you know, I think this is a huge, you know, potentially disruptive threat, not only to, you know, realtors, but honestly to Zillow, you know, and all of us as investors. And, you know, so I think you guys, no offense, were a little reactionary in jumping into this, but it's probably good that they did, because they're at least comparing the realtor. What I'd really like to see you guys do as a next step is not just let these large institutional buyers compete for that, but let everybody in this room compete for those deals.
Yeah.
I would say that's definitely on the table. I mean,
cool.
Yeah, I think that would be, that's one of the reasons I brought up the question, but thank you for, I was going to lead to that. But that,
oh, sorry.
No.
You
no,
said
no.
Last question.
No, that's fine. No, that's exactly, because I get the sense that Zillow is trying to do a good service, and that would be a good service, is to give more competition and more local people, you know, the chance.
I mean, it opens the marketplace up, which is ultimately good for the seller.
Yes,
right?
It is.
So,
yep.
I mean, and like I said, they're our North Star. So if that's what the seller wants, like, that's kind of how we tend to move.
All right. We are exactly on time, Aaron, wherever you are, and we are going to take a dessert break, and then we will reconvene with everybody up here for another round of questions.
The Norris Group would like to thank the following gold partners. First Lending Solutions, Guaranteed Rate and Nathan Chiboya, In a Day Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keller Williams Corona, Keystone CPA, LA South RIA, Michael Ryan, New Western, North San Diego Real Estate Investors, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Orange County Investment Club, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Pilot Limousine, Real Wealth Network, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, the San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, San Francisco Bay Real Estate Networking Summit, Sunoco, South Orange County Real Estate Club, Spinnaker Loans, Think Realty, You Direct IRA Services, Westin South Coast Plaza, Wilson Investment Properties, Inc. See iSurvivedRealEstate.com for event information.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.